This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. You can go to deliberatenoise.com for more details. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. This is actually part of the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge, 30 podcasts in 30 days, which, I have to take exception. I'm going to be podcasting for 30 days straight because I've already done, you know, like multiple podcasts during a specific day. So, I wouldn't make it to the end of the month before I ran out of my 30 podcasts, you know, including an appearance on Marvel Noise. So, like I said, I'm just doing 30 days of podcasting, you know. But you can get more details as well as links to all the shows that are taking part of the challenge this year at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. Now, I'm pretty sure there's a Google Plus group as well as a Facebook group or page. However, I've not had a chance to go to either one. I've been podcasting, working, listening to the other podcasts, most of them, and living my life. However, before I started this challenge, I put out basically a request for questions, and I got a bunch. And today's question comes from my friend Ed Moore from multiple podcasts, but mostly from Teal Productions. I wonder if there's a tealproductions.com. I'm pretty sure there is. If not, there should be. I think there is. And the question that he's asking that I'm going to answer today is, what's your favorite sci-fi TV show? And this may not come as any surprise. This may not come as a surprise to anyone who, you know, listened to the show yesterday, but the answer to that is easily Babylon 5. You know, now before I talk about Babylon 5, there are others that to me rank up there with Babylon 5, such as Stargate Universe, not Stargate SG-1 or Stargate Atlantis or Stargate Special Victims Unit. Stargate Universe. And to me, I know a lot of people like to draw comparisons between that show and the reboot of Babylon 5. Not Babylon, jeez. I got Babylon 5 on the brain. The reboot of Battlestar Galactica, which I liked, but there were times where that show was just, it's too depressing. You know, it's just too gloomy. There were times when on Stargate Universe, they would at least, you know, it was, they were in a pretty much a similar situation as the guys from Babylon 5. Battlestar Galactica. But they at least were looking for hope, you know. Babylon 5, Battlestar Galactica seemed to just revel in its hopelessness. Oh, okay. There may be others, but right now I think that my brain is telling me to talk about Babylon 5. So I'm going to talk about Babylon 5. Now, the reason that it is my favorite show is because it is epic. You know, it is more than just a collection of individual episodes, even though that's how it seemed at the very beginning. It just seemed like they were just a bunch of random episodes trying some cool things, but still had this underlying bigger storyline that was going on, but we just couldn't see it, you know. And that's why I think that the first season gets a bad rap. You know, it's sort of to me like the first half of the first season of Babylon 5 and the first half of the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They remind me a lot of each other because the first few episodes seemed like they were the beginning of a pretty bad or even a pretty boring, you know, a pretty boring or pretty bad television show. When, if you think about it, most first seasons are tough to get through. But what they're doing is they were laying down the foundation for the rest of the season. And in Babylon 5's case, laying down the foundation for the rest of the series. Because it was always planned, the way I understand it, it was always planned to be 5 seasons. It came close at the end of season 4 to not being picked up. And that's why season 4 seemed to have this sense of finality to it. But then it got a lifeline and it came back. Now, I'll tell you one thing that really bugs me about Babylon 5 and my own personal history. The first few episodes, I could not watch because I was a new husband, the new wife, 2 kids, and we were living in a studio apartment. Yeah, 4 people in a studio apartment with 1 television show, with 1 television set, you know. So there were times when, you know, I couldn't watch what I wanted to watch because everybody, you know, wanted to watch something different, or there was just talking, or just, you know, just general life going on in the background, right? In fact, I think it was like that for most of it until the television miniseries The Stand came on. And I told everybody, I said, look, this is from my favorite book. I want to see this. So there's no talking unless it's a commercial. Okay. And, you know, try telling that to a 3-year-old, you know, or 4-year-old at the time. Them being quiet is very difficult. I think she ended up falling asleep anyway. But I couldn't watch the first episodes of Babylon 5. So, like, the first couple of episodes, they were on in the background. And I remember seeing them, but I didn't know what was going on. I didn't pay much attention to them because I couldn't. All right. But I kept hearing about this series, you know, and I kept hearing, oh man, yeah, it started off weak, but it's really good now. And I was part of a BBS at the time. It was science fiction. I think it's called Alien Empires. I think it's pretty sure that's what it's called. And it was fun. It was the first time that I really had people to talk about science fiction stuff with, you know, science fiction TV shows. I remember there was a discussion on which had the better special effects, X-Files or Babylon 5, you know. And by this time, I'd been watching Babylon 5. And to me, I still say it was X-Files because Babylon 5 was creating a whole world. And sometimes it looked like animation, a very rough CGI animation. It was good, but I could look at it and tell that I was looking at special effects. With X-Files, there were times where they used special effects so subtly and so good that it, just for example, because I can't think of anything, but I didn't believe that I was watching a special effect of somebody you know, turning into water. I believe that somebody was turning into water. It was, to me, it was just that good. So I still stand by that. And it's really weird because if I had a choice between watching X-Files or Babylon 5, I'd much rather watch Babylon 5. I'd much rather have that on repeat than X-Files. Because after a while, X-Files just started to bug me. But anyway, but it also started off really rough because they were building the mythology around the show. Now, it really kicked into gear the end of the first season, the beginning of the second season. And that's when I actually started watching the episodes. Before that, I can't remember how, because Wikipedia wasn't around. I think I was on the Lurker's Guide. And I got familiar with what happened in the first season, even though I didn't actually watch the episodes. But even without seeing it, my favorite one from season one was Babylon Squared. I like stuff that shows a glimpse of the future, even if it's just like a possible future. I thought that that was so cool, and I didn't see it for years after I read about it, but it was my favorite without even seeing it. How can I put this? Yeah, epic. If you're looking for a bunch of one-and-done science fiction stories, then you may find yourself getting lost. Lost, another good show. Simply because there are shows that built upon something else that you should have been, that you should have watched. You should have some knowledge of it in order to get the most enjoyment out of it. Sort of like comic books nowadays, you know? There are no one and dones. There are overarching storylines, you know? The television show Wise Guy was the first one that I can remember who actually said, hey, we're doing like several episode story arcs. And Babylon 5 just took that and just pumped it up. You know, I don't like to use the term on steroids. I think it's like overused, but that's like the best analogy I could say. They took the storyline structure, you know, the multiple story arc structure of Wise Guy, and just really made it like not a season long, you know, not a story arc long, you know, few episodes, or like Doctor Who will do now, where you look back and like the whole season was building up to one thing. And there are others that do that. Well, they will tell an entire story in a season. This was, they were telling an entire story within the whole series, you know? And some of the stuff didn't really feel tacked on while you're watching it. Yet later on, you can look back and say, well, okay, why did they do that part now? I can't remember, you know? And there were changes that needed to be made because certain actors that they wanted to use, they couldn't use. See, I'm really, really trying not to spoil stuff because I have a friend who's listening to this, and just trust me on this, right? Just watch it. Realize that those first few episodes are building the foundation. And a lot of this stuff will have resonance past the next two or three episodes. Something may happen and you will not hear about it again for a few more episodes, you know, or, you know, the payoff will come. Like in one instance, something that happened very early on, you don't get the payoff for like another season at least. And you're probably thinking, well, I'm not going to wait that long for the payoff. But that's just it. You don't even realize that you're waiting for the payoff. It's just that later on, something else happens. You're like, oh yeah, that's back from such and such, you know. And there's just, oh man, it's just so many, it's so many good characters, there's just so many good plots, and just it's easy to say that everything has a purpose. And just like with every TV show, they will introduce stuff and it may not have a purpose. It may just be adding flavor to the universe, right? Just let you know that, hey, it's not just about these few people, right? They even took a shot at one point at Star Trek Deep Space Nine, but I said, we're not some deep space station. I forgot what it was, but it was funny, you know, because if you're a science fiction geek at that time, you're like, they're making fun, but they weren't really making fun, because why would they bother making fun, you know? It's one of those shows that I wish I could go back and watch again for the very first time. That said, the pilot, I have it. It's called In the Beginning. I have it on DVD. It seemed very, very hokey. It had a very cheap feel to it. But... and they even got rid, and they know that, there were characters in the pilot that didn't make it to the regular season. However, their stories didn't end there. Okay, let me just put it like that. Stuff happened. Okay. They didn't recast any characters, you know, actors from the first, you know, from the pilot to the first season. Well, what they did was those characters were moved off of that particular tableau for a while. I don't want to spoil it. I really don't. There's a lot going on. Certain things that may seem, just like life, certain things that may seem small and insignificant at first can have really long-lasting effects. And at the same time, something that may seem like it's a big deal or it's going to be a big deal turns out, so just like in life, doesn't seem to be that big of a deal in hindsight, especially when other things become really big. And I think my favorite part, and I know I've mentioned this before, but my favorite part about Babylon 5 is anything that was an official Babylon 5 product was part of the same continuity or in the same canon. It all counted. No, it's not like the Star Wars Extended Universe or the Star Trek books. Because these are authorized, these are fully licensed, but they don't really count. You know, with Babylon 5, it counts. In fact, the one part that they really regret was when they introduced the president. Or the vice president, I should say. They did not have that role cast yet. So in the comic book, the vice president looks drastically different from the character, from the actor who plays him in the book, in the television show. And that's because, you know, they just said, well, we're just going to have some generic bureaucrat-looking guy as the vice president. And then, like I say, he turned out to be very different, right? So that's like one of the only things, and unless you went out and were reading the book, reading the comic books at the same time as watching the show, you wouldn't notice, you know. You'd just be like, oh, okay. He looks different in the comic book. He looks much shorter. Actually, he looks taller in the comic book. But those stories in the books, because I think there were like 7 or 8 books, they tell you what happens when the characters weren't on the television set, right? And they even like sort of reference a couple of those, at least something in the comic book they reference on the television show, right? Yeah, so Babylon 5, just, I'm at work now, so I have to stop talking about it, but Babylon 5, just excellent TV show, just excellent TV show. You know, later after Dog Days of Podcasting is over, I'm going to probably come back and talk about Babylon 5 some more. Maybe I'll be a lot more coherent. I don't know. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode. Unless you're doing the Dog Days of Podcasting thing, in which case, look for a noise box tomorrow.